Let me ask you something before we even get going. How far away is that cloud? Not the ceiling. Not the layer above you. That puffy one off your right wing, the one you're planning to slide underneath in about 90 seconds. How far away is it exactly in feet? Go ahead and guess. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, the show where we try to make you a little bit better and a little bit safer every time you strap in. And today we are going to take one of the most quietly important numbers in all of visual flying and pull it apart until it actually makes sense. Because here's the thing about judging distance to a cloud, you're terrible at it. I'm terrible at it. Every honest pilot is terrible at it, and the regulation that governs it assumes exactly that. We're talking about Federal Aviation Regulation 9155, Basic Visual Flight Rules, Weather Minimums, the Cloud Clearance and Visibility Rules. If you've ever heard someone rattle off 3, 1, 5, 2000 like it's a secret handshake, this is the segment where that finally clicks into place and stays there. Let's walk through this together before we do. Quick word from the folks who keep this show in the air. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones nobody photographs but you never forget. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's set the scene because that's where this rule actually lives, not on a written test in the airplane. You're a fresh private pilot. Beautiful summer afternoon, you launch out on a cross country, and the ceiling is higher than the tower reported. The visibility is gorgeous, and there's this scattered layer of fair weather cumulus sitting around. Oh, 4,500 feet? You're cruising along at 5,500, feeling like a million bucks, and a cloud drifts into your path, just one, and you think, I'll just ease down a little and go under it, no big deal. That right there. That exact moment. That's what 9155 is written for, because the question isn't can I see well enough to fly, the question is am I leaving enough room between me and that cloud so that if an airplane comes ripping out the other side of it, we both have time to not die. That's the whole philosophy. Write it on your heart. Cloud clearance is not about you seeing the cloud, it's about the airplane you can't see, the one hidden inside that cloud or just behind it, possibly flying on instruments, possibly popping out of the bottom of it. And the two of you needing enough sky to sort things out. The clouds are opaque. Traffic hides behind them and inside them. The buffer is the point. So let's get to the actual numbers, and I'm going to give you the one that covers the vast majority of the flying you'll ever do, and then we'll build out from there. For most of your day-to-day flying, you're in Class E airspace or Class G airspace, and you're below 10,000 feet above mean sea level. Think of your typical cross-country at 3,000, 5,000, 7,500 feet. In that world, in controlled airspace, the rule is this. 3 statute, miles of flight visibility, and for cloud clearance, 500 feet below the cloud, 1,000 feet above the cloud, and 2,000 feet horizontally from the cloud. 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 feet to the side. That's the famous one. Some instructors teach it as the 1-5-2,000 rule. Some say 3-1-5-2. However, the rhythm sticks in your head. Keep it because you want this one on instant recall. Now let's make those numbers mean something, because a number you can't picture is a number you'll violate. 500 feet below a cloud. That's about the length of a longer general aviation runway standing straight up. It is not much if a cloud base is at 4,000 feet. The lowest you can legally cruise underneath it and stay in compliance is 3,500. Ease up to 3,800 because it feels fine, and you've quietly busted the reg. And worse, you've eaten your own safety buffer.
1,000 feet above. That's the big one for the airplane climbing up through a hole in a layer, or the one skimming along on top. You want 1,000 feet between your wheels and the top of that deck. Why more room above than below? Think about who's coming at you. Traffic descending toward that layer, traffic that just broke out on top. You want that extra cushion where the closure rates and the surprise factor are highest. And 2,000 feet horizontally. This is the one everybody underestimates, and it's the one from my little quiz at the top. 2,000 feet is a bit more than a third of a nautical mile. Look out at a cloud and try to place a point in space 2,000 feet short of it. You can't. Nobody can, which is exactly why when you're skirting the side of a buildup, you give it a wide, obvious, deliberate berth. If it looks close, it's already too close. Round up. Always round up. The regulation is a floor, not a target. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Nobody busts these minimums by a mile. They bust them by 100 feet on a nice day, feeling relaxed, shaving it just a little because the air is smooth and the cloud looks harmless. It is the small, comfortable shave that gets you. The regulation exists precisely because your eyeballs will lie to you when you're comfortable. Now, let's add the layer that trips up so many students, because 9155 is not one number. It changes with airspace and it changes with altitude. Stay with me, because there's a logic to it, once you see it. That 3 miles, 500, 1,000, 2,000 I just gave you, that's Class E below 10,000, and it covers Class C and Class D too. The controlled airspace where you're doing most of your flying. Good bank that. Now think about why the numbers might change. Two forces are at work. One, how fast are airplanes moving? Two, is anybody watching out for you besides you?
Take Class B airspace. The big Bravo over a major airline hub. Inside the Bravo, the cloud clearance requirement is just three words. Clear of clouds. That's it. No 500, no 1,000, no 2,000. Just stay out of the clouds and keep 3 statute miles of visibility. Now, does that mean Bravo is more relaxed, feels backwards, right? Here's the logic. Inside Class B, every single airplane is talking to air traffic control and being separated by a controller. Someone is watching the whole picture on radar and keeping the metal apart. So the regulation says we don't need you holding 2,000 feet off every cloud because we've got positive separation doing that job. Just don't fly into a cloud because you're VFR and you need to see. The rule matches the environment. Where controllers separate everybody, the buffer shrinks. Where you're on your own, the buffer grows. Now, flip all the way to the other end. Class G, uncontrolled airspace, down low, close to the ground, out in the country. Nobody is watching you. No radar service, no controller, no separation. Just you and whoever else wandered out to the same patch of sky during the day. In Class G below 1,200 feet above the ground, the rule relaxes on paper. You need 1 statute mile of visibility, and you need to remain clear of clouds. 1 mile, clear of clouds. That's the legal minimum. But I want you to hear me carefully. Legal and smart are not the same word. 1 statute mile of visibility down in the weeds, close to terrain, towers, and other traffic, with no one helping you, is a genuinely thin place to be operating. The regulation permits it because down there the airplanes tend to be slow and local. It does not mean it's a good idea for a low-time pilot on a hazy afternoon. The red gives you room. Your judgment decides how much of that room you actually take. And most days, you take a lot less than the maximum. Then there's night. And night changes everything in Class G, because at night, your ability to see clouds and traffic falls off a cliff. So in that same low Class G airspace at night, the numbers jump right back up. 3 statute miles of visibility. 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. The darkness takes away your eyes, so the regulation gives you back the buffer. You see the pattern now? The rule is not a random pile of numbers to memorize. It's a sliding scale. Faster airplanes, no one watching, or no light to see by, and the buffer grows. Slower airplanes, positive control, broad daylight, and it shrinks. Once you understand the why, you can practically rebuild the table from scratch. There's one more piece I have to give you, because it kicks in on exactly the kind of climbing, high country, or high cruise flying where people forget it exists. Above 10,000 feet means sea level. In that controlled airspace, the numbers get bigger again. 5 statute miles of visibility, 1,000 feet below the cloud, 1,000 feet above, and 1 statute mile horizontally. Why the jump speed? Up above 10,000, you can legally be doing more than 250 knots, and jets are transiting through there. When closure rates climb, you need to see farther and stand farther off the clouds to have any hope of reacting. 1 mile horizontal instead of 2,000 feet is a huge increase, and it's there because at those speeds, 2,000 feet of separation would vanish in a heartbeat. So the trigger to remember is 10,000 feet means sea level. Cross above it in controlled airspace and your world becomes 5, 1,000, 1,000, and 1 mile. Now let's bring this back down to the cockpit. Because the airman certification standards are going to ask you about this, and more importantly, real flying is going to ask you about this. On your private pilot check ride under the pre-flight and cross-country planning areas, the examiner is looking for you to know these minimums cold and to actually apply them to the airspace along your route. It's not enough to recite 3, 1, 5, 2,000. The examiner is looking for you to point at a chunk of your planned route. Tell them what class of airspace you'll be in at what altitude, day or night, and state the specific visibility and cloud clearance that applies right there. That's the skill, rule. Airspace, altitude, condition, answer. If you can do that fluidly, you are miles ahead of the applicant who memorized a table and can't attach it to a real map. And here's how it shows up when the certificate is in your wallet and the examiner is long gone scenario. You're on that cross country I described, scattered to broken layer building around you, and your on course altitude puts you uncomfortably near the basis. You've got a decision, and 9155 just quietly took the wishy-washy out of it for you. You don't get to negotiate with yourself about whether that cloud is close enough. The reg drew the line, 500 below. If you can't hold your altitude and stay 500 under those bases in Class E, then that altitude is gone. You descend to a lower legal altitude, or you deviate around the buildups, giving them 2,000 feet of daylight, or you turn around. Those are the choices. The regulation took "I think it's probably fine" off the table, and thank goodness. Because probably fine is how airplanes end up in cloud. Let me give you three takeaways you can carry into your very next flight. First, when in doubt, use the standard 3 statute miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. If you're not certain which airspace you're in or which condition applies, fly to that standard. It's legal almost everywhere you'll be, and where it isn't legal, it's still safe. You will never get in trouble for giving a cloud too much room. Second, round every cloud clearance up, not to the minimum. The regulation is the edge of the cliff. You don't picnic at the edge of the cliff. If the rule says 500 below, fly 1,000 below when you can. If it says 2,000 to the side, make it a mile. Buffers are free. Spend them. Third, before you launch, look at your sectional and identify where the airspace floors and ceilings change along your route and what your minimums become in each chunk. Especially watch for that shift into Class G down low, and never let the reg allows 1 mile clear of clouds talk you into a haze you have no business flying into. What's legal at the bottom is almost never what you actually want. And hold on to the big idea under all of it. This rule is not about you and the cloud, it's about the airplane you cannot see, and the seconds the two of you will need. Every foot of that buffer is time. Give yourself the time. The specifics today come straight out of Federal Aviation Regulation 9155 and the guidance in the Aeronautical Information Manual, and if you want the cloud clearance table on a card in your flight bag, the FAA lays it all out plainly. You can find more of what we do over at radiohangar.com. So on your next flight, when a cloud drifts into your path and that little voice says, "I'll just ease under it," you'll have a number instead of a shrug. Give it the 500. Give it the 1,000. Give it the room. That's the whole game. I'm pattern. Keep the clouds at arm's length, and I'll see you back in the pattern.